highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
Verse 6, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and they turn and they tear you to pieces. We know that dogs and pigs in the are considered unclean by the Jews. And in this context, it's not talking about the animal, but rather an unbelieving person.
Creatures unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. In our scripture today, Jesus says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Our pearls of the precious gospel may only confuse those who do not believe, who are blinded to the truth by the God of this age, as he is referred to by Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And it may only expose the gospel to their ridicule. Now let's join Pastor Rob's teaching, already in progress.
On any given thing, to be able to pass judgment or ultimately to condemn anyone, and we need to be careful about even judging people's motives. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels. This is what is meant by motive. God will reveal those motives of the heart in the day of his judgment. Then each man's praise will come from God. And what does it tell us? John, Jesus again says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. I don't have righteous judgment all the time. The only righteous judgment I have is to be able to call what Bible says is a sin, a sin. Don't be afraid to call sin a sin. That's not judging. That's being truthful. But be first to acknowledge it in your own heart before you start going out skewering people. Be first to acknowledge, to look at the man in the mirror. God speaking to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, he says, the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And yet, God tells us that we can know a person by their fruits. Notice what it says in Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, Jesus says. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Well, if that is the case, then I'm judging, right? No, you're just acknowledging what's there. Do you see? We walk around with this stigma thinking, oh, I can't have any judgment at all. I can't judge. I can't say that this is a sin. I can't say that the drag queen story hour is a bad thing. No, you can say that because God will say that too. It's an abomination. Yes, it's on my heart today, as you can tell. But it is. It's the most wicked thing, and yet they're doing this stuff. Vote them all out. All the school officials, vote them all out. And do it as quickly as possible because these kids are going through this nonsense. And folks, it's up to you and I. Spread the word. Don't be quiet anymore about it. Because let me tell you, it is a war. There is a war and it's on right now. And God doesn't call us to go out with machetes and machine guns. But you better get out there with your word and get out there on your feet. We have to do it. We have to do it. And be vocal about it. Because believe me, God is vocal about it. If Jesus were here, he would be condemning that action. But God's grace is such, he's even giving them an opportunity to repent of their sin. And that's exactly what it is. It is a sin. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" The obvious answer is no. "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and it's thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." We are not being judgmental when we notice the way a person acts or how they do things. We are noticing the reality of what's happening inside and what kind of person they are. But we can't judge them eternally and condemn them. No, they have an opportunity to receive Christ. They do. Now, the way in which we talk to them is important. We got to do it with candor and with love and with grace, and let them tell you that you're judging them. You're not judging them. You're just trying to help them. And hopefully they'll be doing the same to you. Because if Jesus were alive today, he would be crucified again in Washington, D.C. He'd be canceled on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. They would even shut down his PayPal account, and the FBI would raid his house. And we laugh, but that's what's happening in our world, in our country, in our republic. It's become a socialist, communist regime. We're fighting that today, and that's why your vote counts. But God, who is truth, is ultimately the only one who can judge with perfect knowledge. And when he judges, he is spot on. And what does it tell us in Romans chapter 2? That there's a day coming when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That day is coming for the ungodly and those who reject Christ. When is this day? The Bible tells us, and we looked at this, and we've been looking at this. It's the great white throne judgment at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. Everyone at that judgment will be condemned. They will be judged in the lake of fire forever and ever. That burns forever and ever. It is not a place where your friends are, where they're having a big party and everybody's excited. No, this is a place where people are burning forever, and they will never, ever cease. Is that a deterrent to run to Christ? That alone is what got me into the kingdom. Someone told me that if I didn't turn from my sin, I was going to burn in hell. And you know what? It's true. Don't ever remove the teeth from the gospel. We mustn't ever do that. I need a Savior because I need to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the punishment that I deserve because of my debauchery, because of my sin. I need someone to save me, and there's only one who can save me, Jesus. Has he saved you? Are you in the process of being saved? Is God working on your heart? Is he making you go, "Oh my goodness, I just so want to jump over this Rubicon and be yours, Lord"? Well, jump. Don't wait. You don't have tomorrow. Do not wait. Today is the day of salvation, folks. Not tomorrow. Today is the day. But the great white throne judgment, yes, that's the ultimate judgment, where the books will be open, that death and Hades will be delivered up. Yes, when you die right now, if you're not a believer in Christ, you go to a place called Hades or hell. If you die today and you're in Jesus, you go to heaven. And there's coming a day where everybody who is in Hades is finally going to be delivered up unto the great white throne judgment, and they will be judged, and then they will be sent into outer darkness in the lake of fire forever and ever. That's what the Bible says, folks, and that's the truth. Nobody likes to acknowledge that, but that is the truth, and I'll stand on that for the rest of my life. I wish it were different, but God's ways are good. And he loves people. He loves you and I. "For with what judgment," verse 2, "you judge, it will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This doesn't mean that there should not be judges in the courtroom or laws on the books. These things are good and they're right in a civilized society. We need these kind of things. Magistrates, authorities, and law enforcement, they are all there for that purpose. Romans 13 tells us, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that be are ordered by God." They're ordained by God. He's put them there, whether we like it or not. And many of them are doing wicked things, and they will answer for that. But they should be doing the right thing. And God encourages us to obey them, especially when they're telling us to do the right thing. But the day when they come to us and say, you can only have two children, and if you get pregnant, you have to abort that child, then you can say, well, am I going to serve God and listen to God, or am I going to listen to you? For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Does that remind you of something? I think the perfect example of this is in the book of Esther. You remember that this occurred at Shushan the palace during the Babylonian captivity, and Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle, he wouldn't bow to or acknowledge a man named Haman, who was a newly promoted officer in Xerxes' kingdom. And Haman was so furious with Mordecai the Jew that he didn't bow to him, and he determined not only to kill Mordecai, but to also all of those of his kind, meaning the Jews. And throughout all the provinces, he wanted to do that on a specific day. And Ahasuerus, unfortunately, he agreed to this, not knowing the full ramifications. He didn't know the big picture. He didn't even know that his beloved wife Esther was a Jew. And so Haman created this gallows or this pole that was 75 feet high. And it was basically a stake where they would take the person and impale them on the top of it. And you would stand there suspended in the air, impaled on this 75-foot pole higher than all the trees so that everyone all around could look and say, wow, that's what happens when you disobey. That was the whole point of it. The Romans, you know, they did the same thing. The Persians, they were the ones that invented crucifixion. And the Romans mastered it. And that's why they did all their crucifixions on very busy roads. This is what happens when you cross Rome. This is what happens when you disobey Rome. Well, Ahasuerus did the same thing, or Haman did. He wanted to build this pole, and he wanted to just put Mordecai right on the top of it. He created it for Mordecai, and you remember that the plot was uncovered finally. And when it was, and Ahasuerus realized what Haman was up to, Haman himself was placed on those very same gallows. You can read Esther yourself. It's a wonderful, wonderful historical book because it did really happen. And it reminds me of a verse in Psalm 37. What does it say? The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him. So Haman judged. Haman was on the, he didn't have, you know, he wanted to judge Mordecai. And the measure that he judged came back upon his own head. It came right back to him. The thing that he wanted to do to Mordecai happened to him instead. And what a poignant justice. And I tell you, you read that Esther and your mind is blown at just how God set this evil man up and he would not repent. And God set him up in such an amazing way. I mean, it is the worst case scenario I've ever read in my life. It's horrible. But the wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. But their sword shall enter their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken. The thing that they wanted to do is brought back on their own head. Jesus goes on in verse 3 and says, why do you look at the speck or this little chaff or twig in your eye, in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank or this piece of lumber that's sticking out of your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove this speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own? It sounds ludicrous, but the idea is that if I've got this this beam sticking out of my eye, this, you know, pressure-treated 2x4, how can I look at somebody else and say, oh, you got a little twig, you got a little problem in your eye? Well, you've got a really big problem. In fact, it's taken over your whole life. Why don't you take care of that first? How can we counsel or encourage someone else in a sin issue or a problem when perhaps we are having the same problem, or maybe even our own life is in a much worse condition? It's like somebody who's trying to quit smoking, but still smoking, encouraging somebody else to stop smoking. Well, what are you doing to stop smoking? Well, I'm not doing so good of a job. Or how can the drug addict who's hooked on crack cocaine, how can he help somebody kick the habit when he hasn't kicked it himself? How can a man who's addicted to porn try to help another man who is addicted to porn? He's got to first remove that beam from his own eye before he can help the twig in his other's eye. But we need to practice what we preach, right? Because we are ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors. That's what we're to be. Jesus says, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your own brother's eye. It's more better and more effective for us to get the plank out of our own eye before we attempt to get the small piece of wood out of our brother or sister's eye. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort in which we ourselves are comforted of God. And that's the idea. When God comforts me, then I want to do the same. I want to reciprocate. I want to help. But first, I got to get help myself. And even though Jesus is speaking to his disciples when he says this, this concept is true not only for the believer, but also for the unbeliever. In the context of Romans 1 and 2, Paul speaks about the hypocrisy of unbelievers in this area of judging. And this is a really tough area, but in Romans 1, chapter 24, it says, therefore God also, and this sounds very like today that we're living in, God also gave them up, the unbelievers, he gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, they burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, notice, which was due. Ouch. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. And that's exactly what we're seeing in our culture. That's exactly what's happening when you see these drag queen shows that they're doing for little kids. God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder and strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, notice this, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And then he goes into chapter 2 and he says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. Whoever you are who judge, there's our word again, krino. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth, notice, against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? The answer is no. You will not escape the judgment of God. As loving as God is, and that is the truth, he is so loving, his vengeance is just as hot on the other side of the coin. That's the part none of us want to see. But history bears out that God does judge, and when he judges righteously. Unlike me, because I just don't have all of the knowledge. I don't have the perfect understanding, but God does. I can't condemn anybody. I can call it what it is, but I got to be careful in my delivery and how I do that. But I need to know right from wrong. I need to be able to judge actions in myself first and foremost. And if somebody comes up and starts pushing people around and is really nasty to them, you can say, that person's not very nice. Are you being judgmental? No, you're not. You're just stating the obvious. But they'll be the first ones to say, don't judge me, brother. Because in and of itself, the way we do it is so important. But this word judge that we've seen in chapter 2 of Romans, in verses 1 and 3, it's the same that we see here in chapter 7, verse 1. The same idea of judging. Verse 6, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and they turn and they tear you to pieces. We know that dogs and pigs in the are considered unclean by the Jews. And in this context, it's not talking about the animal, but rather an unbelieving person. A dog or a pig would often be an unbelieving individual who was patently against the truth, somebody who was a scorner. And see, the treasures of the kingdom of God should not be forced upon people who are outwardly hostile to the gospel. It almost rhymes, hostile to the gospel. That's why we have to be led by the Spirit of God in our witnessing and have discernment and to know when we just need to turn away and to walk away and to continue to pray for someone. However, we should never let a statement like this keep us from ministering and sharing with unbelievers. But there's a time where you have to not throw your pearls or cast your pearls before swine. A good example might be if you're walking on Monroe Avenue on a Friday night. I don't know why you do that to begin with, but if you are there and a man high on crack makes fun of your Jesus shirt, you might want to pray and just continue to keep moving unless the Lord tells you to stop and pray with him. But if he's high or he's drunk, you might be wasting your time. But again, be led by the Spirit. But more often than not, you're not going to have any impact on them because they're just making fun of you and you're the sport of the hour. Don't allow yourself to be a sport of the hour. If you know that you ought not to be there, then get out of there. If you know it's not, you know, and God will give you that discernment. Then again, he may tell you to stand and bring it, you know, and love them and tell them the truth. That's why you got to be led by the Spirit. Paul did. Peter did. In Acts chapter 10, we know that there was a time that Peter, he received this vision of three times a sheep being lowered with all kinds of four-footed beasts and creeping things. And the Lord said to him, rise, Peter, and eat. And Peter said, Lord, I can't. I would not put in my mouth that which is unclean. And you remember what happened. Three men from Cornelius' house come to visit Peter there in Joppa. And the Lord tells him, go with these three men. Don't answer anything. Don't ask questions. Just go with them to this Gentile's house. And he does. And the next day, as Peter is before all of them, he says, you know that it is an unlawful thing for a man who is a Jew to keep company with you guys or to come into company of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Overcoming this judgmental heart. Because although Gentiles were considered unclean, Peter did not refrain from sharing with them and leading them all to Christ. When his fellow countrymen, the Jews, they wouldn't have wasted their time. Peter, being led by the Spirit, being encouraged by God. But notice in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, and knock and it will be opened to you. Notice the active verbs there. These are very active verbs. They're purposeful, they're assertive, they're not passive. This is an active faith. You ask and you seek and you knock. And the unfortunate thing in our culture today is we become a fast food culture. We want to get it right now and we want to move on. We don't want to wait for anything. And even our fast food chains have it your way right away. Encourage this attitude of ours. We don't want to wait for anything. We ask, we seek, we knock, but if it doesn't open up, if it doesn't answer my question that I want right now, I'm moving on. I'm going to Buddha. I'm going to Allah. This Christian stuff didn't work for me. Well, is God a genie? Is he like a little lamp that you rub and just say, oh, I want $1 million. Oh, I want $1 million. And it doesn't have, just forget this thing. I'll just go buy a lottery ticket.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.